from the National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, Jeanette DeMello speaks with Benedictine College President Steve Minnis about the role that Benedictine students will play in the January 22nd National March for Life. Also, Dan Burke will talk with Italian Capuchin Father Mariano De Vito about Teleradio Padre Pio and worldwide devotion to the Italian saint. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the Register, and Dan Burke, Executive Director of the Register. Thank you for joining us. Here at EWTN and at the Register, everybody is talking about next week's March for Life in D.C. and the Walk for Life West Coast in San Francisco. EWTN, of course, will provide complete live coverage of both events. In fact, our producer, Elena Rodriguez, will be one of those on the streets of D.C. talking with marchers from around the world. Before we bring on our first guest, I want to let you know you can join tens of thousands of people right where you are praying the U.S. Catholic Bishop's 9 Days for Life novena, and that begins Saturday, January 18th through Sunday, January 26th. Now, if you sign up for this novena, you will get prayers sent to you each day by email, text message, or through a free app. So sign up today at www.9daysforlife.com. That's 9daysforlife.com. Our first guest, Stephen Minnis, is president of Benedictine College. A 1982 alumni of the college, Mr. Minnis went on to obtain a law degree from Washburn University and an MBA from Baker University. After 14 years working as an attorney for Sprint Corporation, he became Benedictine College president in 2004. Mr. Minnis has seen the college enrollment increase as well as the campus expand. Next week, he will accompany Benedictine students to the March for Life in Washington, D.C., where they will be the march's standard bearer, leading thousands of others in the annual plea for an end to abortion. Steve, welcome to Register Radio.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited about being here.
Steve, it's great to talk to you. I know it's an exciting week for Benedictine next week. Tell us what's happening next week.
Well, my gosh, we're just so excited about leading the march. It's the 40th anniversary of the march, and we have 8 buses leaving Atchison, Kansas on Monday afternoon and traveling to Washington, D.C. It's a 24-hour one-way bus ride, so they're going to be traveling 48 hours in a bus to get to Washington, D.C., and they're very excited about that. And then leading the march, I think there's about 60 of them that will actually lead the march, and then the rest of almost 400 total students of ours will be following them with our drum line, and they'll be very excited about it.
That's great. And how did this come to be? How did you end up getting this spot in annual March for Life?
That's a great question. It's such an honor to be able to do this. Last year, we received a lot of publicity. We had sent 7 buses to the march. And, you know, we always say we're the largest group from the furthest distance that goes to the march, because it's a 24-hour bus ride to get there. And USA Today picked that up and had an article about Benedictine College and our commitment to life. And I think that the march planners read about that and then asked us to lead the 40th anniversary march.
That's great. What an honor. And I hear that you guys are going to be sporting the colors in caps, red and black caps, right, at the beginning of the march.
We get them stocking caps. We've done various things. Sometimes we'll give them, like, red gloves. So when we get to cheer, all our kids will put red gloves up in the air so that EWTN cameras will be able to catch the BC on their gloves, you know, going back and forth. But it's kind of an identifier.
Nice.
The kids are excited. I hand those out on Monday. And we do a prayer. We bless the students before they get on the bus. And so they're excited about that.
And you said how many busloads?
So we have 8. Yeah.
8 busloads of students. That's really a wonderful crowd.
What's really kind of neat about this deal is that this is totally student-driven. I mean, from the very beginning, students have organized this. This is not an administration-led thing. It's really kind of exciting to see this young generation. So we have a group that you can imagine the logistics of getting 8 busloads of people to Washington, D.C., to get them into hotels, to get them fed. I mean, it's a pretty tough logistical nightmare out there, and we have kids doing the whole thing. It's really, really exciting to see.
It's really wonderful. And how long have students from Benedictine been traveling to the march? Do you have any idea of how long this tradition has been going on?
Sure, that's a great question. I know that we had the Student Knights of Columbus group started in 1985, they were sending a couple carloads or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's kind of neat to tell you a couple really interesting stories about the history. In 1989, we had a group on campus called Ravens Respect Life, okay? And that group... Mm-hmm. Ever since then, Ravens is our mascot. Ravens Respect Life has organized the bus trip ever since that. The co-founder of that is the second youngest bishop in America, Bishop Andrew Cousins, who just was ordained in Minneapolis, St. Paul just a couple weeks ago. So that's kind of a neat deal about that. And then another officer of Ravens Respect Life in 1991 who organized the bus trip to Washington, D.C., is now the abbot of St. Benedict's Abbey, and he'll actually be leading the march with our students.
Well, that's a really it's a great tradition. It's really a wonderful tradition.
Neat.
And, it was I started going to the march when I was a student at Franciscan University, and I went every year that I was there at Franciscan. It was a much shorter bus ride, but it was really – it's just a powerful, very, very powerful experience. This is Jeanette DeMello on Register Radio. I'm speaking with Stephen Minnis, the president of Benedictine College, and we're talking about Benedictine leading the March for Life next week in Washington, D.C. Now, Stephen, what do you think, why do you think it's such a powerful witness for these college students to be going to the March for Life?
Well, I kind of like, the beauty of this, of our students here. I mean, you really have to admire their passion, okay, of these young people. They really believe that abortion is the civil rights issue of the day. And just like, the freedom riders of the 60s, they board buses and they travel across the country, to fight injustice. And so they take that passion of being a young person and put it into action, for the march. But it doesn't end there, which is really kind of neat to see. So our Ravens Respect Life, they pray at abortion clinics. They go to nursing homes and help the elderly. They give up their, we have the Hunger Coalition that the Ravens Respect Life is part of. Half of our students give up their Wednesday evening dinner. They call it the skip a meal, and they skip their Wednesday evening dinner, and then they box that food up and deliver it to the poor in Atchison.
Wow.
And so it's really kind of it's neat to see that these young people are putting their love of people into action. And we always talk about, and this is the beauty of Pope Francis, okay, we always talk about at the college that we want our students to love the church and to love others, serve the church and serve others, that as Catholics we can be it can be a both and. It doesn't have to be an either or. And this is the beauty, of course, of Pope Francis, because he says it is a both and. You should love the church. You should love the sacraments and go to Mass and confession and go to adoration and do that. But you also need to serve others. And our kids put that into action every day. I mean, so we have 8 buses going to the march, but we also have 900 of our kids going on 40 different mission trips this year to places all around the country, all around the world, to serve others. So it's, I'll tell you, you look at this younger generation, you think, oh my gosh, okay, our country is in pretty good shape here because they're so inspiring.
Well, that's definitely true of college students. It's great to hear that, there's no divide, of course, between the liturgical life of the church and the hands-on serving the poor, but also in that hands-on activity of the church, that there's no divide between helping those who these mothers who are struggling with their pregnancies and to mm-hmm. coming to terms with their children, but also that we have to reach out to the other ends of the periphery where there's poverty and on these mission trips and even closer to home and just delivering food. So there's just no divide in how we serve and as we answer Pope Francis's call to reach out and to go to the periphery. It's great to hear that Benedictine is doing precisely that. And this week we one of our reporters, Chris Crawford from Washington D.C., spoke with Kristen Hawkins from the Students for Life of America, and she just she seconded your notion that college students are really picking up the ball, and there's a lot of hope for them for what our future holds and for the witness to life. She said, you know, a few years ago there was only 180 campus organizations for Student for Life, and now there are well over 800, almost 900 of these
wow.
Students for Life on campuses all over the country, secular campuses as well as Catholic campuses. So we do have a lot of hope. 51% of young people today see abortion as a very important issue. And so we have to pray, continue to pray and support the young people as they lead the banner, as Benedictine is doing. So we're so grateful for that. But, you know, I did want to ask you something else, Steve. Mm-hmm. You were telling me, and I actually heard through a press release this week, that Benedictine's starting a great books program, which is just awesome. I had the opportunity to do a great books program at Franciscan University. Tell us a little bit about this program that Benedictine's starting.
Sure. We've been kind of been asked the last few years or so from parents and students about a great books program, and can we offer more opportunities? We had currently offered a Faith and Reason course, which was a 3-course great mm-hmm. books program for philosophy and theology. And we were intrigued by these, what I'll call, great books programs within larger institutions, you know, the now defunct Ignatius Institute from University of San Francisco that was run by Father Fessio, and then the John Senior Great Books Program at the University of Kansas, which influenced a lot of people such as Archbishop Coakley of down in Oklahoma City, and also Bishop Conley in Lincoln, Nebraska,
right.
were influenced by that program. And so we said, well, let's try to do that. You know, and so we're launching that in the fall, and it's going to be a fantastic program. You know, I worry about this generation. Actually, I worry about all of us, but this generation especially is, in essence, kind of information rich. But analysis poor, you know, that they
sure.
get bombarded by tons of information every day. The question is can they analyze that and can they make good decisions? We believe giving them the foundations of history and literature and philosophy and theology will now give them a sense, the ability now to take all this information they get every day and analyze it, make good decisions. This is what the Great Books Program is going to do for them.
That's excellent. So you're leading the way in intellect, in action, in prayerful action, and also in prayer. You were telling me about this year of consecration. What is Benedictine doing this year in terms of consecrating the school to Mary?
Well, the Blessed Virgin Mary has been a great source of strength for us from our very founding of the college back in 1858. And so we decided this year that we were going to formally consecrate the college to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And on her birthday, September the 8th, we had a ceremony. 1,100 people came, you know, from all over the country, actually, to celebrate with us and consecrate and entrust this college and all that we do and its students and faculty and staff to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And we brought speakers in. We had a number of personal consecrations. We had over 300 of our students personally consecrate themselves
wow.
to the Blessed Virgin Mary on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception this year. And so that was a great strength as well for us. And we always talk about at the college that we're a chosen place with a special mission, and chosen by Mary really to be at this place. If you got a second, I was going to tell you just a quick story about our founder, Father Henry Lemke.
Yeah.
In 1856, 2 years before the founding of the college, found himself on the prairie with the rain coming down in the middle of the night. He had not eaten anything. He really felt like he was not going to live through the evening that night. And he found himself in a ditch with water coming up almost to his neck. And he looked up to heaven and he said, Mary, I've never asked you for anything before in my life, but if you can spare my life tonight, I'll be forever indebted to you. And at that moment then, a light shone off in the prairie. The first time he saw that light, he crawls out of the hole ditch, gives him hope, crawls to this light, and finds a lantern in a window of a house that he did not know was there, goes in the house, asks the lady, why is this lantern in the window? And she said, well, Father, we had laid our 9-year-old daughter down to sleep. We were all sleeping at the time, and my daughter started yelling for me. I lit the lantern, put it in the window, and I said, honey, what's wrong? And the daughter says, Mommy, I was sleeping, and a lady dressed in white woke me up and told me to call for you and get you out of bed. So I called for you, and the lady, of course, lights the lantern, puts it in the window, and that's the light that Father Henry saw and saved his life, and he believed that Mary saved his life. And I believe it, too. And then 2 years later, of course, he founds the college. Frankly, you and I are not speaking today if Mary had not interceded on his behalf. So we've always felt that we've been chosen by Mary to be here and to be as successful as we are. So
well, that's really a wonderful story. Steve, that's a wonderful story, and it shows us what is at the heart of Benedictine, this deep Marian devotion, as well as this devotion to life and to solid Catholic teaching. And we just really appreciate your witness. We are glad that you're going to be the standard bearer this year at the march, and we'll stand behind you. Some of our producers will be there, of course, covering the march, and EWTN will be covering it, as well as the Register. So we are so grateful to have you today, and good luck on next week. Our prayers and our support go with you.
Well, thank you, and thank you for all you're doing for the new evangelization. We really appreciate that here, too.
Thank you, Steve. When we return, it is certainly not news that many of us have a great devotion to St. Padre Pio. In just a moment, Dan Burke will be here talking with a priest from the Shrine of St. Padre Pio in Italy. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
Colleen Carroll Campbell talks about the National Catholic Register.
We live in a secular culture today that's in many ways hostile to core teachings of our Catholic faith. That's not something we need to be angry and defensive about, but it is a reality that we need to recognize and grapple with. And that's where the National Catholic Register comes in. It's so important for Catholics to have a newspaper with a national perspective that helps them understand their faith and what's happening around the world, but especially in the Church, from an authentically Catholic perspective, one that they can trust. And that's why I believe the National Catholic Register is an important tool in the new evangelization and to today's Catholics. In many ways, it's more important now than it's ever been.
To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register, or call 800-854-6316.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Jeanette DeMello and Dan Burke, I'm Tom Price. We're very blessed to have visitors here at EWTN from the Shrine Monastery of St. Padre Pio of Pietrelcina. We're joined by Father Mariano DeVito, the president of the foundation Voice of Padre Pio, and also Padre Pio TV. Also with us today is Nicola Palazzo. He is the technical director of Padre Pio TV. And we'd like to welcome you both to Register Radio.
Thank you. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you here at EWTN and Register Radio. You've traveled a long way. So we're excited to have you share a bit with our listeners about what's going on at San Giovanni Rotondo. But before we do, I mean, we all know that the beloved St. Padre Pio has held a special place in the hearts of the of Catholics throughout the world as we contemplate all the amazing graces and tribulations that were bestowed on this humble friar, the ability to see into the penitent soul during confession, his spiritual intensity as he celebrated Holy Mass, his exhortations for the vital need of prayer, the stigmata suffered throughout his life, bilocations. And so many facets have made him beloved all over the world, and certainly in the United States. San Giovanni Rotondo Shrine, because of that great love, has become the second largest pilgrimage site in the world after Guadalupe in Mexico, with about 7 million visitors a year. So what I'd like to ask you, Father, is how have the numbers of visitors changed, you know, since before, you know, right after his death maybe in 1968, and then we have his beatification in 1999, and then his canonization in 2003. Have the visitors grown dramatically?
Well, there is many reasons, I think. Padre Pio was well known till his life, because, you know, about the stigmata, the big hospital, he pushed to build up the Casa della Sofferenza. But after his death, as he said when he was alive, he said, "I will make much noise after my death that during my life."
Right.
Because, you know, many people come just to stay one day, 2 days, maybe also 2 hours, 3 hours, because according to my spirit, my experience, Padre Pio is really a great friend of everybody. And when people come to San Giorgio, they say, we go to visit Padre Pio. Where are you going? Just to say hello, Padre Pio. Still now that he's dead, but he's in the same Padre Pio is with God and he prays for us. But this is so kind of a special relationship between Padre Pio and his devotees because of his humanity. Okay, we speak also about the miracles, the great gift he received from God, but I think the he was very, very, very near to everybody, in the needs of spiritual needs, especially because he was a priest. Yeah. The majority of his day was always near people for the confessions, for the spiritual counseling, we can say with a modern word. And this kind of ties become stronger and stronger after his death, after the beatification, when the church, the blessed John Paul II, he visited Padre Pio two times during his life, when he was young priest, then when he was bishop, and then he came when he, as Pope, to visit Padre Pio. And after his beatification of Padre Pio and the canonization, of course, the fame, we can say, all around the world, and many, many people come. It's a special place, we can say, as all the shrine of this world, for the Blessed Virgin or the saints. There is a place where people in some way feel something good.
Yeah.
The life is not always beautiful.
Yeah.
Many, many, many troubles nowadays, maybe, but also in other times. So the shrines are a place where man can find the atmosphere of serenity, of peace, of conversion, because God helps us, to push us to do always our duty as Christians.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Now, I wonder, Father, do you think my instinct with Padre Pio, one of the things that has appealed to me so much, is his suffering?
Yeah.
Because for whatever reason, his suffering makes him very accessible to me. He feels very human.
Yeah. This is a good question. And also, Padre Pio, if you see the many pictures of Padre Pio, the statues of Padre Pio, the artists make Padre Pio as an old man, maybe with face
struggling.
But when I speak with, especially with young people, I say, Padre Pio, he was young as we are young. He was he grew up slowly.
Yeah.
He didn't love the suffering because he was a very strange man,
right.
But because the suffering was the way he looked to the cross of Jesus, it's a sign of love. It's not a sign of how do you say in English? It's not a sign of to not respect the beauty of life, but it's a sign of the love. Jesus loved us till his death on the cross, and Padre Pio, as all the saints of the church, looking at Jesus, they understood that the way to say that I love you is not just say I love you, but give something of me.
Love
and
yourself.
The sufferings
are that
the people feel this kind of message.
Yeah, it's very powerful.
It's not a message of negative black.
Yeah,
but this white message.
Yeah. It's a positive.
Full of life, not full of death.
It's a redemptive message.
Yeah, it is.
This is Dan Burke with Register Radio. I'm here with Father Mariano DeVito, president of Voice of Padre Pio Foundation, Padre Pio TV, based in San Giovanni Rotondo, along with Nicola Palazzo, the technical director there. Father, you have a bi-monthly magazine, in English at least, five other languages, Voice of Padre Pio, which was started in 1971.
Yeah.
And now it's translated into French, German, Spanish, Dutch. It's online following the canonization of Padre Pio. Is it the official magazine of the Capuchins of San Giovanni Rotondo?
Yes.
So if people want to follow what's happening there, that's the place to
the
get
life,
it.
The life of the shrine, the events that we celebrate in the days are very, very important for the life of Padre Pio. But also it's a religious magazine where we deal also with many items as the life of the church,
spiritual life,
the problem of the young people,
yeah,
for the women, the workers. So that always with the side of the Catholic faith, of course,
right,
but opened to all the problems or all the facts,
all the struggles,
the struggle of nowadays.
Great. And what we'll do after the show is, When we'll put that up on the Register website and on EWTN so that people can find those links. Thank you so much for traveling
so far, and
stopping by and visiting us on your trip to EWTN. We're so grateful for you for spreading the faith and the great gifts that Padre Pio brings to the church by the power of the Lord, of course.
Yeah. And we give it to all the devotees of Padre Pio in the States with our heart. We give the blessings of Padre Pio. May they grow spiritually in the faith and also in the life of every day. And you who work here, thanks very much for your work.
Thank you.
If you missed our announcement at the beginning of today's show, you can join tens of thousands of people praying the U.S. Catholic Bishop's 9 Days for Life Novena. That is from Saturday, January 18th through Sunday, January 26th. Now, if you sign up to join this novena, you'll get prayers sent to you each day by email, text message, or through a special free app. So sign up today at www.9daysforlife.com. That's 9daysforlife.com. Don't forget, you can listen to our show again by going to ncregister.com. Look for that picture of the microphone to listen to or download the show. Thanks again for joining us this time on Register Radio. For our producer, Elena Rodriguez, Jeanette, Dan, and all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.